I would like to continue on with 2 Timothy. I've been thinking about looking at this in terms of the Apostle Paul and his writing to a young minister that he's been well acquainted with for a lot of years. Timothy was the pastor of Ephesus, and church at Ephesus, and seems to be somewhat discouraged. Seems to me that he's having some difficulty doing what God called him to do. Seems to me that he was somewhat ashamed of maybe his duty. Maybe he was getting bogged down in the affairs of this life. Seems to me. Seems to me that he was faint in discharging his duty, and maybe in his walk with Christ. Have you ever become faint in your walk with Christ? All throughout this book, I've counted at least 11 foundations that Paul keeps on going back to that enables and is the basis that enables Timothy to do what he's called to do. And not only is it a blessing for Timothy, but it is a blessing for us to go back and to remind ourselves of why we're doing what we're doing. When I get faint in the discharge of my duty as a minister of the gospel, I need to go back to these foundations. And the Apostle Paul talked to Timothy. He said, I know your grandma and I know your mama, and they had great faith. And I'm persuaded that that same faith is in thee also. You know, I had a thought this week about families and about parents and about children and those that have given their lives over to walking in the kingdom and living by kingdom principles. I mean, not just saying that you live by them, but actually living by them by faith. And Paul saw this in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And Paul says, as they walked in faith, I'm persuaded that that same kind of faith is in you. How many times do you see parents that are walking in faith and knowledge and enjoying the blessings of the kingdom, and their children might not be? I think they need to be reminded that I've seen that faith in, I mean, if you are persuaded that it's in them, we need to talk to them and tell them, I've seen that faith in your mother and father, and you're covering it up a little bit. You need to let it out. Paul did that to Timothy, encouraging him, not as a discouragement, but an encouragement. And then he says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. That means the prisoner of Christ. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now that's the foundation one. Is he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that allows us to be able to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. Now, foundation number two that we read but did not get to. I want to talk to you about the power of God. Paul reminds Timothy of this power. He says, who hath saved us? Hath saved us. That's past tense, isn't it? Hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Amen.
But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, this is some rich, dense scriptures right here. This needs to be broken down, and it needs to be explained. It's amazing how Paul could, in two verses, encapsulate 2 years worth of preaching. It's amazing. But first of all, he says that the power of God hath saved us. Now, eternal salvation is a gift.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
It's not something that you work for. It's not something that you conjure up by your own will. It's not something that you go out and get. Eternal salvation, that means salvation that lasts forever. The salvation that will take you home to be with God the Father is a gift.
Amen.
There is no two ways about it. A gift. Have y'all ever given, I mean really given, a gift to someone? From a pure heart. And wanted it back just because they weren't that excited to get it. Have you? Well, you might have. But God don't give that way.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Amen. You see, if you really are going to give someone a gift, and then you decide to take it back, if they don't want it, then it never was given as a gift. A gift is yours in the mind and purpose of the giver. Dependent upon whether you like it or not, or whether you want it or not, it is a gift, and it is yours. Eternal salvation is a gift. Paul tells Timothy and reminds him of this foundation, that eternal salvation is a gift. And that gift was in the mind and purpose and according to the good pleasure of his will given to you, but in the person of Christ Jesus before the world ever began.
That's right.
There's no two ways around it. God had a mind to give you a gift before you were born. How many pregnant people get gifts at showers before the baby is even born? Come on now. That's a real world example of God giving us gifts before we're born. Amen?
Amen.
God did that before He born the world.
Amen.
He did that before He founded the world. Before He ever spoke it into existence, He had in His mind and purpose the gift, and had you in His mind and in His purpose before He ever did that to give you the gift of eternal salvation. That He purposed to do that. If you want to say plan, that's okay with me. But the problem with plans is that plans change.
Not God's.
But God purposed things. It don't talk about God's plan in the Scriptures. It talks about God's purpose. Has a stronger and more solid meaning. Paul tells Timothy, God is powerful. And first part that you need to remember is that God is powerful enough to save. And that salvation He had in His own mind and in His own purpose before He spoke the world spoke the world into existence. He says He's not only saved us, but another part of the power of God is that He called us with a holy calling. How many things call to you in this world? How many things of this world call you? A lot. Your job demands a lot of you. Your relations demand a lot of you. They call you. If you're married, your husband, you're obligated to love them and to care for them. They take your time. They call you. God calls you. The speaker that only the heart can hear,
right,
calls you. It's only discerned by the Holy Spirit. He calls you with a holy calling. And this calling and this salvation is not according to our works. But His salvation and His calling. Now I want to talk about the calling for a little while longer. What does God call you for? I make mistakes and call people not meaning to. You ever heard of sitting down on your phone and calling somebody that you didn't mean to? God never does that.
Amen.
God calls His people on purpose. And He calls them by His grace. I don't know that I can really distinguish those two, but because they're married together, because His purpose and grace are all the same. But I think that God intended to call you, but He didn't intend to call you because you were so good.
That's right.
He intended to call you because He was gracious to you.
Amen.
That's why God intended to it, because it was His good pleasure to do that. Paul's reminding this young minister that it's God's pleasure to call you. And what He's called you to do is not an unholy thing. It's not a worldly thing. It's a holy thing that He's called you to and called you by. He's called you by a holy call. Holy Spirit. Now, He called us with a holy calling. The calling is holy. It's not an unholy calling. You know what that tells me? That tells me if you are obedient to the command of God, I'm talking about in your life, and you guide your life by that calling, what you do will please God, and it'll be a blessing to you. But this calling seems to be something that happened before the foundation of the world. We're talking about a gift. Salvation is a gift. Several times it talks about salvation being a gift. I want to talk about that a little bit. God intended by His purpose to give the gift before the foundation of the world. But He had to a body was prepared, Jesus. Right? A body was prepared for Him. He didn't start existing when He was conceived in the womb.
Amen.
The Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God before the beginning. So this purpose that God had, it's like this. But when there was still darkness and voidness in the world, God told Jesus, told His only begotten Son, He says, I've got a heathen people. They're mine. I love them. And I'm going to give them to you. Jesus said, I'll take them. And I'll save them so that they can be in heaven with us. And then He sends the Holy Spirit to open the gift.
That's right.
I'm trying to make this simple. God's purpose was to send the gift. Give the gift. Jesus is the one that delivered the gift. And He gave the gift according to God's purpose. And by delivering the gift and in His sacrifice, the sacrifice of Himself, He secured every one of those that God gave Him. Amen?
Amen.
There's a bunch of people that haven't had the gift opened, who have the gift. That makes sense to me. Who opens the gift? Do you? Do you open the gift? A lot of people would say that it's not yours unless you open it. That's not so. Remember, the giver of a gift gives the gift, and it's yours whether you open it or not. But you can't open this gift. Just like no man was worthy to open the book except for Christ. What is the Holy Spirit's job? The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, He'll take these things of mine and show them unto you. He said He'll teach you all things. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To quicken us. What does that mean? That means to make us alive. Isn't this beautiful? God purposed to give the gift. Jesus brought the gift, and the Holy Spirit opens the gift, and you can't see it unless it's been opened. Amen? Unless you're alive, you have no understanding that there even was a gift that was yours. The Apostle Paul had the gift while he was on the road to Damascus before he was struck to death. But the Holy Spirit had to come and make him alive so that he could see it. You know why he had the gift? Because Jesus had already brought it. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was one of those that God said, "He's mine. He's mine." But boy, he sure wasn't looking for the gift at all, was he?
No. God just destroyed.
He couldn't do it, could he? God had to send the Spirit to open that gift for him. Not only did God send the Spirit to open the gift, He says, but is now made manifest. I'm going to read it all again. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, amen, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Amen.
Do y'all see God's purpose? It's simple. God loves you. He always has. And He always will. But the only way for this to be done was for the gift to be delivered and for the gift to be opened. That's the only way that this was going to come to pass. He said, it's been hid for a long time. It's been hid for a long time. It was given before the world began, but now, it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What is that? Manifest. That means it's openly known and visible. Tangible. Maybe not tangible. Tangible from the spirit aspect. I can't touch Him. One of my fingers. But I feel Him on the inside. That's what I mean. Tangible. Tangible. But is now made manifest. I don't think that's talking about His advent into the world. It says by the appearing of the Savior Jesus Christ. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. I don't think that's talking about Him being born of a woman. I think that's talking about you being able to see Him by His appearing to you. That's what I think. That could be some argument. I mean, you could make a case for it. Because it was hid from a long time ago. It could be both. Now, is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death.
Praise God.
Amen. That's got to be by the power of God.
Right.
It says Jesus did that. It didn't say he was going to. It says he hath done it. That's in the past tense.
Amen.
He hath abolished death. Boy, I tell you, if you're faint and you need some strength, that'll strengthen you. That's better than a Red Bull to a tired man with no energy. I'm telling you, that will help you to go on through your day, to just remember that Jesus Christ hath abolished death. That means that, oh, we still die, but we're not held by the grip of death. Death hath no more dominion over him nor us, because we're in him. Boy, that's a gift, isn't it?
Amen.
That is a gift. And that's eternal salvation. That's salvation that lasts forever. That's being preserved in Christ. He hath abolished death. When you abolish something, that means you take away its strength. That means you make it of none effect. That means it has no more dominion over you. You're going to die. Does it bother you? It don't bother me that I'm going to die. Some days I'll say, even so, Lord, take me on home today. I'm looking forward to the day that I die. Now, I'm not really wanting to jump on the bus today, but if I do, it's okay. It don't bother me. It don't have a sting.
Amen.
Like it used to. When I see Jesus and I have those thoughts of the day that I'm going to pass on and be with the Lord, I don't look forward to it with dread. I look forward to it with haste. I look forward to it with haste. But why? Not because I'm ready to go from this old world, but because I know that He's abolished death. He's victor over death. You know what that means? You know what that means? That means that part of you that was quickened by the Spirit will never die.
That's right.
Will never die. Y'all ever been to a funeral? I know you have. I went to one this week. Dear sister, Virginia Milford passed away. 90-something years old. Late 90s. I walked up to that casket, and you know what I saw? I saw the shell that Virginia used to live in.
That's right.
That's all what you see here today is that you can see with your eyes. Just a shell. I remember it so strongly. My dad-in-law in the casket. Drew, I don't know, he was about 9 or so, 10. Maybe a little older. Walked up to the casket and touched his hand. He said, that's not Papa. I said, no, it ain't. He gone. He's not here anymore. He's not in that shell. It's a lifeless looking thing. The amazing power of God is that He had power over death. No man, except for one, had that power. And that one that had that power, because you were in him, gave it to you.
Right.
So when you die, the very second, nanosecond, that your spirit leaves your body. I tell you what a great thing would be. I've seen people happy on their deathbed. Almost leaving the world with a shout. And the very last thing that they do in this world is shout. And the very first thing they do when they see the Lord at the very next second is shout. I think I will. Boy, I tell you, that old song says, when I die, let not a tear at my grave be shed, but let all join in praising around. Don't you cry for me when I go, because I know that my Redeemer liveth, Paul says later on. I tell you one thing, death don't bother me. When people die, it makes me sad, and I do cry. I do cry when people die. Some people I'm more acquainted with than others. Some people I love more than others. That's pitiful, ain't it? But it's so. It's true for you too, I guess. Some people mean more to you than others. Death to me is just a separation from me. You know, when I lose a love, when my dear old mama goes to be home with the Lord, I'm going to shed a tear, but I'm going to be shouting at the same time on the inside. Because I know that Jesus Christ hath abolished death. Did you know the second death will not touch His elect?
Right. Amen.
Second death will not touch His elect. What's the second death talking about in Revelation? It's talking about that eternal separation from God. That first death is just when we die, a corporal death, or a death like when I stop breathing for a longer period than anybody could revive me. That's the first death. When we put people in the ground, that's the first death. The second death is that final one. He's got power over that. There's something else that this Jesus did when He came. He abolished death. And what else did He do? He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul is reminding Timothy, there are some foundations, son, that you need to remember. And what does this do? What is the purpose of the gospel? The purpose of the gospel is not to bring life and immortality. Jesus did that.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Jesus brought life and immortality. It just said that He abolished death, so He brought life and immortality. And that life and immortality is brought to light by the gospel. The gospel is not telling you how to get life and immortality.
Amen.
The gospel is telling you and showing you, it is a flashlight to shine the beam on the one that brought the life and immortality.
Amen.
What does it do? It tells you a lot of things. The gospel tells us a lot of things. It is the good news, is it not? That's what gospel means. It's good news. It's to be published. And it sheds light on the life and immortality that Jesus brought. The gospel helps us understand about the gift. That's what the gospel does. It doesn't bring the gift. It didn't open the gift, but it helps you understand the gift. You know, at Christmas time, we just got done with that, right? How many times do y'all open a present and there's an instruction manual inside after it's opened? Y'all ever think about that? It tells you how to change the batteries. It tells you how the thing functions. It tells you the proper use of it. Now, friends, that is the gospel. It tells you what you got. And it tells you how to use it. And it tells you all the great things about who purposed the gift, who brought the gift, and who administered the gift to you. Amen? That's what it means. That's what the gospel's purpose is to shed light on the one that brought it, the one that purposed it, and by the Holy Spirit tells you how it was even opened for you. And then it tells you how to use it. Not only does it tell you how to use it, it tells you how to rejoice in what you got. Right? I mean, just the very fact to know that you have the gift and you're a partaker of the holy calling and you know more about the one that sent the gift, you know more about the one that brought it, that's a great rejoicing, isn't it? That's wonderful. He says, I rejoice in that. He says, it helps us to live in it. Right? To live in the gift. That's what the gospel does. It helps us realize what the gift is and how precious it is and that it is salvation. There's salvation when you use it. You know, that's what I tell you what, cars have seat belts now, don't they? Would they keep you from moving around in the car if you had a wreck, if you didn't have one? If you didn't have it on? No. The gospel, if you never do hear it, is it going to keep Jesus from bringing life and immortality to you? No. But it'll shed light on what you got. If you use it, if you hear it, if you tell it. You know, Jesus Christ, y'all heard me say this, some of y'all. He said, in Him, He is a light, and in Him was life, and that light is the life of men. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I don't want to get off on life, but I do want to tell you something. We use flashlights, right? And when we turn them on, we can see, right? It doesn't make things appear. I mean, magically appear that weren't there already, right?
Just shows what's there.
You know, you think about this. We call them flashlights, but then we don't have an invention that's called a flash dark that makes things dark, do we? That's just kind of the beginning, isn't it? Without the light being shown on something, there's nothing but darkness. You can't make something dark when the light's shining. You can't. The darkness cannot make the light flee away. That's what would a flash dark would be. That's why there's not such a thing, because it's not possible. Light is more powerful than darkness. I've said this before. The gospel
is the good news,
right?
Amen.
It's the report of the news. The gospel, or the reading of it, or the hearing of it, does not make the news. It reports the news. Jesus Christ brought life and immortality. The gospel report is the report of that life and immortality. Let me ask you a question. It's pretty cloudy outside today. If we put tinfoil on all the windows and cracks in this room and I turned the lights off, would we disappear?
No.
We'd still be here, wouldn't we? We'd all be here. And then if somebody just comes in and flips the light on, did it make you just appear in this room? Physically? No. You were here already. You were here already. That's what the gospel does.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
To a man or woman or child that has life and immortality in them, that have had the gift, that it's been delivered and it's been opened by the Holy Spirit, when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in truth, that life and immortality that they have is brought to light. Amen? It does not bring life and immortality. No more than if I read the newspaper from Memphis. And all, if I just brought the Memphis newspaper up here and just read it to you, would that make you a partaker of what happened in Memphis? No, I'm just reporting what happened in Memphis. If I didn't read the newspaper, this is an important point. If I didn't read the Memphis newspaper, would you be aware of the news in Memphis? Would you know what happened in Memphis if I didn't read the newspaper? No. Would my not reading the newspaper keep the events from happening in Memphis? They happen whether I read it or not, whether I'm aware of it or not. Jesus brought life and immortality. Whether you ever have the light shed to you by the gospel or not. Now that's not an excuse not to preach it. That's not an excuse not to tell it. Which one of y'all likes to sit in the dark? I don't. I like to sleep in the dark, but I don't like to work in the dark. I don't like to navigate around in the dark. And while we're talking about being in the dark and being in the room, let me just throw this in. If you are talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're of some other faith persuasion, it's not your job to, if let's say that they're in the dark, maybe about the true gospel of Jesus. What He brought, what He performed, what He accomplished on the cross. Maybe they're in a little bit of dark about that. They don't need you to tell them, you're dumb because you're in the dark. You're sitting in the dark. They don't need you to tell them that.
Amen.
They don't need for you to tell them how dumb they are for believing something like that. Or what? You know what they need? This is what they need. Just flip the light on. They don't need for you to tell them whatever they believe is wrong. All they need for you to do is turn the light switch on. That's all they need. It's not your job to do that. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting of the truth and not. You just preach the truth to them by the way that you live. You preach the truth to them by the way that you talk. You preach the truth to them by the way that you conduct your life. Show them that there is a truth out there and it's contained in these scriptures. The most powerful sermon that you will ever preach is the one that you live every day. You understand that? Don't understand. Do you really understand? Because I've been guilty of talking to people of different orders or different faiths and almost putting them down for what they believe. That's not what they need. That's not what they need. All they need is the truth.
Right.
What brings the truth? What sheds light on the truth? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news. What is the good news? That He saved you. He abolished death. He's a victor over death. And He's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And Paul says, I was appointed, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul says, tells Timothy, this is what I preach. I'm appointed for this reason, to preach this message. Timothy, don't get discouraged. Why should we be? Why should we be discouraged?
Amen.
We have the best news about the successful Savior. We're able to describe the gift, I think, as better than anybody else. That sounds a little haughty, don't it? That kind of sounds a little haughty, but it's not to me, because I'm just doing what Paul's doing. I'm preaching the same thing that Paul preached. I'm telling Timothy that God had a purpose before the foundation of the world, and He sent Jesus Christ to deliver that. And to not only to deliver the gift, but to deliver His people at the same time.
Right.
Ain't that amazing? Yeah. He brought something, and He's going to take it back home with Him here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit does it. It quickens us, makes us alive. He says it ain't according to our works, but according to His own purpose. That ain't me. That ain't got nothing to do with me. That has nothing to do with me. The good news, Paul says, is that God did it. God did it all. And because He did it all, we ought not to be discouraged. And it ought to give us encouragement to take up our cross and be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Not just in a preaching way, but in a daily life way. There are afflictions that come with this gospel. Well, I thought I'd get farther than that today, but maybe not. I want y'all to read this for next week. For the which cause, that means for the cause of Christ, for the cause of spreading the gospel, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I think Timothy was. Why is Paul not ashamed? For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I want y'all to read that and think about it for next week. What's God able to do? What has He done to you? You have been called with a holy calling.
Not only that holy calling of the Holy Spirit that born you again, but you've been called by the gospel to live in it, to walk it, and to proclaim it, to be obedient in it. If you haven't done so, you can come and be obedient to the command of Christ, to be baptized and follow Him, live according to the tenets of the gospel and the kingdom principles, to live your life that way. You have that opportunity today to come down as we sing the song to close the service out. You may come and let your wishes be known, and the church will gladly hear what you have to say. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.